It's time for Building Alaska on KFAR Radio, brought to you by Gen Solar, the Fairbanks leader in sustainable, reliable energy solutions. And now, Building Alaska.
Welcome to Building Alaska. My name is Jesse. We are on KFAR Radio. I hope you guys have had a fantastic week so far. The weather's been a little bit interesting. I do believe that we have a little bit of summer left, this season. But, there's a lot going on. You know, the summer feels like it just went by way too fast. There's a lot going on, you know, behind the scenes in the state. And on Building Alaska, we discuss and go in depth about what's happening around this awesome state. We've had Mr. Bronson on the show before. He is with us today. Today, we have another special guest, his wife, Deb. Dave and Deb, thank you guys so much for being here. I'm really excited. We've had Dave on the show before. We've talked about what's going on in the state, big projects, things that you guys are working on. But today is a special treat for everybody who is listening. It's really nice to have you guys on the show. Dave, you've introduced yourself. Deb, this will be your first time on the show, and I just want to invite you guys up here. Today, we really want to just dig into your life, get for Alaska to get to know who you guys are. We've talked a little bit about Dave, but today I want to focus on where you guys came from. You know, what happened in the state of Alaska? Did you guys, were you guys born here? Did you guys move here? I want to get to know you guys on a personal level.
Well, ladies first.
Well, hello, and thank you. I was born and raised in Spokane, Washington, and always wanted to move away to a bigger city than little old Spokane. And I met a guy at church who was in the Air Force. I didn't know anything about the Air Force.
That was me, right?
Yep. That was actually
just to
you.
Be clear.
Yeah.
Just to be clear. He was sitting with a friend of mine at church. And then, little known fact, before he could ask me out, my friend asked me out because he knew Dave was going to. Anyway, so no, we met and got married about a year and a half later after we met. And then instead of moving to a big town, we moved to Abilene, Texas for B-1B training. And it was smaller than Spokane, but eventually went to Minneapolis where I was an accountant downtown Minneapolis.
Spokane. I did a lot of time in Battleground in Camas and a little bit in Spokane. It's a pretty nice place, very green. It almost reminds me of Alaska, but that's really interesting, Spokane.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Has fresh peaches. Grew up with a peach tree in the backyard.
Isn't there a big orchid or orchard over there where you can go pick? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where we used to go when we were kids. Wow.
Well, there's like a town, Orchard Park. What's it called?
We go up to Green Bluff. And they have apple trees, peach trees, pear trees, and go.
She still goes back and picks peaches with family.
That is cool.
I think in September or late August.
They're early this year. Anybody who wants to go get peaches, go to Spokane, early, mid-August, Green Bluff.
Okay, interesting. I'm just curious. Is it right past the Bridge of Gods? You know, between Oregon and Washington?
Spokane is right next to Idaho.
Yeah, okay, never mind. So it's on the other side. Okay,
yeah,
this is a different one.
It's on the dry side.
This is a different one. Never mind. Yeah. Okay, that's pretty cool. Awesome. So you guys went to Texas, and then you guys came straight here?
No, from Texas. He was the first class of B1s, so we got to go to B1 school down in Abilene. I finished my degree. We moved all up together to Rapid City, South Dakota.
Most of the squadron moved up together, and we went up to Ellsworth Air Force Base, which is in Rapid City, and we spent 3 or 4 years there.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Biking around the Black Hills.
Yeah, good time. Lots of hunting, lots of fishing. We had a really good time.
That's awesome. So what made you guys make how did you guys make the decision to come up to Alaska?
Well, when I got out of the Air Force, I got hired at Northwest Airlines. We moved to Minneapolis. Shortly thereafter, they said, "Hey, we're opening a new 747 cargo base in Anchorage. Would you like to go do that?" So we came up here. The understanding was we'd come up for 2 years because they paid for our household goods move. And we came up. We just never considered leaving. And then thereafter, We went through rough years in that there was 2 years of furlough from the airlines. That was pretty challenging. We were able to survive that. And then we had our kids here, built a house. I got back into the military via the Alaska Air National Guard, spent quite a few years there. And then finished out my career. I did 24 good years total with the Air Force Reserve and Air National Guard. Retired as a lieutenant colonel in 2005. And I was working then for Delta Airlines, which had, kind of merged with Northwest. And then when COVID hit, they kind of gave me a buyout option, which I took. And at that point, that was in spring of 2020. And then I decided that summer to run for mayor of Anchorage. And we won in April, or actually May, in a runoff. And I took office in July of 2021. So, and then we did the mayor's thing for 3 years. So, and we had two kids, very successful kids, never give us on some problem. Our daughter is a PhD in biochemistry and microbiology. So she's a cancer researcher down at University of Little Rock there, of Arkansas in Little Rock. And then our son's a pilot for Alaska Airlines.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So he's doing very well too.
That's awesome. You guys must be really proud of your kids.
Yep,
you
know. We are. Yeah, we homeschooled them until that didn't work. I'd come home from work, I'd be gone for a week or two flying internationally, and, it'd be 10 o'clock in the morning, I'd walk in, they're at the table studying, but there's a lot of pajamas, and a real good professional friend of us says, homeschooling works until it doesn't. It worked until high school, and then we put them in high school.
One was in junior high. The other was in high school. So we homeschooled through the elementary years and junior high for the daughter.
Yeah. So we put them in private Christian school. Then we were lucky enough to be able to do that. And so we had a real good science program there at Anchorage Christian Schools there. And our daughter availed herself of that. My son was really big into sports. So our kids turned out real well for us.
That's awesome. Not to go too far off topic, but my wife and I, we were just talking about school system. We try to support as much as we can with what's going on, in the state of Alaska and the education system. I always had a hard time in school, and it was because the curriculum kept on changing. None of it made sense. Every time I would question the history teacher, I would get, I would get some attitude because I'm questioning the teacher. Mm-hmm. But what made you guys decide to go towards homeschooling your kids? What was the thought process behind that?
I just wanted to teach our daughter was first, and then 2 years later, our son. I just wanted to teach our daughter how to read, and I just had warm fuzzies about me doing that. And then, of course, you have the little notebooks for pre-K, so our son would do that. School was all exciting. But with his schedule, with Dave's schedule, he was gone a lot. We quickly learned that it was very handy for his schedule, because if you go to school, you're gone most of the day. When dad is gone for days on end, then obviously you're not going to see him. But then when dad is home, because when he got home from a trip, he would be home for 24 hours for, say, 5 days.
24 hours a day, completely. I didn't have a job. If I'm either gone or I'm home, when I'm home, we wanted to do things together as a family, mostly centered on camping.
Yeah.
No. Oh, nice.
So if you're at school, then, you only see dad after school, but then there's homework, there's extracurriculars, there's all the things. So we could schedule school so that, if we wanted to go camping, or if he wanted, to go hunting or whatever, then we could just get our work done and then give more time to dad. So it worked. I had a very wise school administrator say that if you are able to homeschool, then I mean, it's not for everybody.
Yeah.
But if you're able to homeschool, then it's a great thing to do until it doesn't. And I'm like, I wanted to know when. Is it going to work until September 2nd of 2007? I needed a date. And he said, don't worry, you'll know. And he was right. So we homeschooled, and our daughter checked out ACS at the time, took a couple classes just to feel it out, and thought that that's what she wanted to do. and then our son. So it was her first year of high school, our son's first year of junior high. But we maximized Alaska. We were able to just because of homeschooling.
That's awesome. You know, the reason why I'm asking that question is because with what's going on in the school system right now, it's really rough. It's not where it was 10, 15 years ago. You know, there was having those conversations with my daughter coming from a public school, you know, and the things that she hears over there. And it's sad. You know, you have a lot of kids that come from broken families, and that's where they can let loose. And that's where they, you know, pretty much mirror what's going on inside the house. And then when you bring that into your home, that's another job trying to, you know, repair and fix and help them understand, like, hey, these things are not good. Would you guys recommend, you know, families that are just starting off who are sending their kids to school or considering, you know, or it's time to get these kids educated, would you guys recommend them to put kids into homeschool?
Well, I think it's what the administrator said. It's not for everyone, but if you are able and if you are willing, then it can be a really good thing. And we didn't, let's see, I mean, our kids are 30 and 28 now, so it was, you know, a little while ago. We didn't have classical, you know, education. There's big homeschool groups, I think, now. We were part of IDEA back in the day. But in Anchorage, we had a lot of activities. We actually had a prior homeschooled science teacher who did not have labs because she was homeschooled. So she traveled around Anchorage and our kids were able to dissect sheep eyeballs and worms and frogs because that was her heart. So we did that. We did swimming lessons. We did, I mean, piano lessons, guitar lessons, art lessons.
So it's we've always heard the narratives, more political narratives, that all homeschooled kids are not acculturated correctly. They're not socialized enough. They're backwards. And can that happen? Well, that happens anywhere, but they're not, you know, and I'll just be honest with you, they're not criminals. They're not subject to the indoctrination that you're getting in the public school system because we do far less educating than we do indoctrinating in our public schools. And I've been pretty vocal on that, especially on this campaign trail. And the numbers are pretty clear. I think we talked about it, Jesse, last time I was here, is that our school system in this state, the whole state, we're number 51 of 53 jurisdictions that are tracked by the Department of Education federally, which means that includes, you know, Puerto Rico, and we're the worst of the states in public education in, say, in fourth grade and eighth grade reading and math. And, you know, back in the 70s, we were in the top 8 or 9. I mean, we tracked this stuff. And so I think is what we need to do is focus not just on the spending in the public school system and the BSA, and that does need to be stabilized. We need to provide some real stability for the teachers and the administrators to get their financing in order, and I've committed to that. But we also have to demand from those very same people that they're not going to indoctrinate. We're going to get back to traditional education.
Yep.
The parents need to be in control of the content of the education. And ironically, we also have some of the best publicly educated kids in the country in our charter schools. And a charter school is a charter, an agreement between parents and teachers on how and what and education is going to happen. And we used to call that PTA. And that's what we need to get back. We know how to do this right.
Yeah.
It's just that we're not, because the government schools are not allowing that. Our government schools used to be some of the best in the country.
Yeah, that's good. That's, man, it's just crazy to know that this is where we're at, you know, and with this generation that's having kids, if they choose to have kids.
We hope they do. Yeah. We need more kids.
Yep, absolutely. And that's my wife and I, we're firm believers. If you can have kids, I was just talking, We're getting close to our break, but real quick, it's very important that, you know, we extend our bloodlines, because we have a lot of people like my age who are the last of the boys in their family. Everyone else passed away or they're the only boys, and that's it. If they choose not to have kids, their last name is done. Their bloodline is finished. Guys, we're going to cut to a short break. Don't go anywhere, because when we get back, we're going to pick up where we last left off.
Building Alaska will be back after these messages on KFAR Radio.
Fairbanks is raving about the technology available for your home from the folks at Gen Solar. From the Tesla solar technology and their amazing sleek power walls, to the always dependable Generac system and EcoFlow battery systems, all for your home or business, all designed to keep your home safe from power outages while feeding power back to the grid and saving you time and money. See for yourself and get all of your questions answered in their amazing new showroom, 29 College Road, right across from the Bentley Mall. Open 9 to 5 Monday through Friday. Gen Solar.
Attention business owners, event coordinators, and sports leagues. 97.5 KFAR Radio has the perfect tool to help you get the word out. It's our weekly 50-50 Friday offer from Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station, and KFAR. Every Friday at 9 a.m. on our website, kfarradio.com, we feature a different half-price offer from a local business where we promote your business on 8 of the top radio stations in Fairbanks for an entire week. Every hour, every day. Plus 100 ads that run the following week. It's 50-50 Friday. And when we don't have a current offer, log on to kfarradio.com anyway to see what deals may still be available from previous weeks. When it comes to marketing your business, nothing works like local radio. And nothing on local radio works better than 50-50 Friday. From 97.5 FM KFAR Radio and Last Frontier Media Active, the radio station. Spend your Saturdays with KFAR Radio for local programs, starting with Alaska Realty Today from Next Home Arctic Sun Realty at 11 a.m. Behind the Mission with United Way at 11:30, followed by Sensible Health Solutions with White Spruce Medical at noon, Compo's Outdoor Show at 12:30, Fairbanks Foodies at 1 p.m., Alaska Tracks at 1:30, The Drive with Glacier Garage at 2 p.m., followed by Building Alaska with Jen Solar. All 4 hours of local shows can be found on the KFAR website in the archives section. Weekends just got local with KFAR Radio. And now, back to Building Alaska on KFAR Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to Building Alaska on KFAR Radio. Guys, today we have Mr. and Mrs. Bronson. We've heard a lot about Dave. A lot of you guys know him, but not many people know about Deb. Deb, this is the first time I've met you, and we're happy that you guys are both on the show so that the whole state can get to know you guys both personally. Deb, I know that I just heard that you are a CPA. What else do you do? What else do you do on the side that people don't know about?
I have an accounting degree from Abilene, Texas, which is where the B1s took us, and then worked in accounting back in the day. It was a Big Ten firms, so I worked at Number 11 in downtown Minneapolis, and then we moved here. I worked for Deloitte & Touche down in Anchorage, and then when we decided to have kids, stopped that because, you know, who wants to be an accountant, right? So did the kid thing, did the homeschool thing. A gentleman who has his own firm said he needed some help doing accounting again. So I got hooked into that, but took some breaks whenever I wanted to substitute teach once the kids went back to school. And so we did that. Taught some junior high girls how to sew. So I love junior hires and high schoolers. And so here we are.
Yeah, on Sundays, and for Sunday school, some of the more underprivileged, I guess.
We had a bus ministry attached to the church.
Okay,
and
wow.
Instead of going to Sunday schools, what you'd do is you'd go in and they'd have sewing machines, and Deb and some other moms would teach these bused-in girls to sew as they would preach, to, you know, teach them biblical things. So,
schools stopped having home ec, and these girls liked... I mean, they just had an interest in sewing. We had some amazing, I am not an amazing seamstress. I just love junior hires. There was amazing seamstresses, and they taught them all sorts of things about.
Well, you've done quilting, so
I quilt. I was mainly junior high girl crowd control. That's what my job was.
So, you know, and again, in our education system, we've stopped home ec. We've stopped, you know, auto mechanics and carpentry, you know, the shop classes. I'll just tell you what I carried into adulthood. I think I carried more what I learned in shop classes than I did on the academic side. And it made me mechanically minded, which helped me when I got to the Air Force and was learning the the machinery of aircraft, because mm-hmm. this is what they are, is flying machines. And that kind of training, you understood those principles. And I got that from shop class. And we are so short of skilled craftsmen in this state and in this country, to include heavy equipment operators, to carpenters, to electricians, to plumbers. We're way upside down, and that's got to fix, or that's got to be fixed.
Yeah. So is there a reason why it's only, or how did it come that you guys went specifically teaching these girls sewing? Why sewing?
So our kids grew up at ABT down in Anchorage, and moms are very protective of their baby girls, and junior hires are just, you know, pretty scary. So I went and just volunteered in the junior high department at the church. I mean, we had a lot of kids, a lot of junior hires. A lot of them were bused in. Some were, you know, driven in by church families. There was a woman there who had just started a sewing class with the girls because they didn't have, you know, sewing class in school. So we had somebody who donated like 10 or 12 sewing machines, I think.
Oh, wow.
And she had been doing it for a few years and was moving on to something else. And so I moved in. So I don't think I left junior high for like 10 years or something.
It'd be a good ministry in Fairbanks if some businessmen in one of the private Christian schools or even non-Christian private schools got together. And it's a great venue. You know, women can donate machines, and then the school organizes it and bring in folks like Deb to teach.
That's so cool.
Most of the girls who came in were bus girls, and they, I believe that they just needed some good mentors, because all of us, there were like five or six teachers there, all of us had been married for a long time. And these girls, a lot of their parents aren't married. Many of them don't know their dads. Their family life is just very different from mine, for example. And it was good you had a solid hour. It was only about an hour a week, but you really got to know these girls, and they're great people. And it was good for them to see just a different kind of life than what they were growing up with. And in amongst all that, we made quilts or pajama pants or pillowcases. So we had a lot of really good conversations. We had a short little Bible class, you know, short, because the main goal was to sew. But we had quite the list of girls that wanted to be included. So it was like half a year.
That's so awesome that you guys were able to incorporate both of those things.
Oh, it was a great time.
Wow.
I think us adults learned just as much. I mean, they're great girls.
That's awesome. That reminds me of Mexico. Right after I left rehab, I got thrown into the missionary field. I couldn't go back to Portland. That's where I'm originally from. I just knew that I would go right back to the life that I tried to escape. And I ended up going to Matamoros. It's where all the drug cartels are running up and down. You know, people are shutting down their businesses because, 2 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock at night, you just hear gunshots and cars just going after each other. And down there, the way of life is so sad. It's so sad. It's the same exact situation. Those kids don't know who their fathers are. They don't know if they're still alive. Their mothers are either drug addicts or in the cartel too. And the kids are home by themselves, bored out of their minds. And it's sad because if the community doesn't step in, like what you're doing, and what you've done, it leaves that open door for those kids to just do whatever society teaches, right? And right back to Dave, what you were talking about is, you know, those workshops, they don't exist anymore. I remember I was so upset because my oldest brother, he would come home from high school and he'd be like, man, we just got done working on an engine. We got done working on, you know, woodworking. And when I was a kid, in Portland, there was nothing to do. There was nothing to do. And so I looked forward to that from when I was in middle school. And then the year I got into high school, they shut down all of those classes. Gone. There was no more funding. Nobody wanted to do it anymore. And it just disappeared. They had one program left. It was called ACE, architecture, construction, and engineering. And it was a school that would give you college credits. And they taught you all three departments, all three, architecture, construction, engineering. And they gave you hands-on, both boys and girls, didn't matter if you were from that school or not. And it was so cool. And it's exactly like you were saying. We have a shortage like never before. And it's sad because not many people are encouraged to go and do these things. One thing that I wanted to touch up on is, you know, those girls, we don't know, you know, what direction they're going to go in when they get older, right? But the fact that somebody took that time and ministered them and found something that they can connect and bond over and teach them, educate them, it gives them a sense of accomplishment and responsibility. And one thing I wanted to say was, I can see it. Nowadays, when we buy stuff and it breaks, we don't fix it. We throw it away and buy a new one. You know, you look at new vehicles made of 100% plastic almost. So when something breaks, instead of repairing it, you throw it away, you get a new one. But those girls, like, sewing is an art. Sewing is a skill. Not many people know how to do it anymore. And I'm just thinking, how many pairs of jeans, how many bed sheets, what in my house could I have salvaged if I knew how to sew? Thank God my wife does, because her mom taught her. But yeah, that's so important, is to give back to the community and just teach and prepare them for the future. And ministry is a huge one. You know, in Mexico, there was the youth. That was my responsibility. And they had nothing to do. The one thing that all the kids talked about was guns. If they were bored and they didn't have anything to do, didn't have a home to go back to, the cartel will come up to them, use them as mules, and promise them the world. And those kids will walk around with brand new 1911s, gold-plated wood. Everything was just customized. There were 6-7-year-old kids learn how to use a gun before they even knew how to tie their own shoes. And so what we did out there was, my ministry was, we went to the elderly homes that couldn't take care of themselves, and we would go and clean their entire house. We would reset their whole house and their backyard that was overgrown. And those kids saw something different. Like, someone took that time to teach them something that they've never seen before. And now those kids are doing well. They're still involved in the church services, still involved in the outreaches. I still, you know, from time to time, I'll reach out to them. It's been over 12 years. But, you know, a small investment like that, it was only about six and a half months, but those 6.5 months prepared those kids for life, and it changed the way that they thought about things.
And we still run in. We were at, I think, Bear Paw a couple of weeks ago, and one of your girls came up to you.
Yeah.
And she had a baby already, right?
Well, I mean, it's been a hot minute.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is that it builds lifelong relationship. Just those simple little sewing ministry.
And a lot of those girls, they don't have a sense of accomplishment at all. And then they see, oh, there's these blocks, and I sewed this, and then it's a finished quilt. And they had not, it's a sense of pride. Oh my goodness, look at what I did.
Yep.
And it's like, yeah, it wasn't that hard, but you just have to follow through and finish it. I mean, it's their life lessons in just simple little sewing projects.
Yeah, I'm happy that we're talking about this, because we have a lot of pastors that tune in. We have a lot of ministers that tune in. We have a lot of people who do outreaches and whatnot in the community. And for those who are listening, you know, I hope this encourages you guys to think a little bit outside the box, you know, expand your ministry, expand the opportunities that you can, you know, provide these kids, because yes, it is more than just giving them something to do. It's creating a whole new life for them, a new way of thinking. And it's so important to just pour into the community. It's very important. And
especially the kids.
Exactly. It takes a community, a village, to raise one child. We have so much responsibility, and it's sad to know that not many people are doing the things that we're called to, is to reach out to the orphans, to take care of the widows, and to take care of the communities that don't have anything, especially when it comes to education. That's a big one. Yeah. Mr. and Mrs. Bronson, well, I'm sorry we came to end at our show, but we'll be back next week. And for those who are tuned in, guys, I hope you guys have had a blessed Saturday so far. Stay tuned in, because next week when we come back, we're going to dig a little bit further into Mr. and Mrs. Bronson's life and find out what else do we not know about them. Mr. and Mrs. Bronson, thank you guys so much for being on the show.
Thanks so much.
This has been a fantastic time. I know that this is going to be a huge blessing for everybody who's tuning in, and we're excited for next week. Guys, don't go anywhere, because next week when we return, we're going to dig a little bit further. We'll see you guys then.
You You've been listening to Building Alaska on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM and 660 AM. To listen back to this or any past programs, simply log on to kfarradio.com and go to our archives page. Building Alaska is a production of Last Frontier Media Active and this radio station.